Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th town, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 25th, 2017, our Z Lu 4, 2021. We just started our first service today with a song entitled, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Yahshua doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Yahshua doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul a thirst may be, yearning from the wrath before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day, here's my song through endless ages, Yahshua led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Yahshua led me all the way. Part 7, as it was in the days of Noah, by Brother W. Johnson, we're going to finish up this track today, on page 9. It said, from the weight of the evidence, of against the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I put the Seventh-day Adventist, he just said the church, you would have to say that this is inevitable. Therefore, since the SDA Church has failed to restore the heavenly sanctuary system and has rejected every ray of the light that has been brought to her for the past 102 years, her candlestick has been removed and been replaced by the candlestick of Zechariah 4:1-6. Now, Brother Johnson was speaking this in 1990, and he was the angel of the seventh candlestick, which remained. He was the prophet appointed, last prophet appointed to the Adventist Church, and so therefore he was in charge of the office of inspiration for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So that being so, Brother Johnson pronounced judgment also upon the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1990, the year that he wrote this tract, or 1991. He said, we're through with going to the Adventist Church. He said, God had told him to go to Gentiles from now on. Said the Adventist Church is true. Well, I can see why after he wrote this tract here, as it was in the days of Noah. because he said, right here, I just read it to you, that after 102 years, the Adventist Church candlestick has been removed. So, since Brother Johnson was the angel in charge of that candlestick, so the he didn't know it, but he was pronouncing this message against himself. So, according to his own handwriting, June the 3rd of 1990, on page 10 here of his tract, he says, which was the Pentecost, I was going to the church to deliver the afternoon message as it was in the Noah's day. While on my way, I was pondering the messages that Yahweh had given me in February and March of this year, in which he said that my message and work was an antitype of Noah and Paul's message and work, and that I must go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I inquired, Lord, how can I do this great work? His answer was, recruit all the young men available and qualified for this work and set up a school of training. Okay, let's stop right there now. Let's go back and let's just reread what I just read, because this is his last of this track on page 10 of Rollis Johnson's writing, and he gives a subtitle, A Great Opportunity. So now he says, on Sunday afternoon, June the 3rd, 1990, when I was which was the Pentecost, I was going to the church to deliver the afternoon message as it was in Noah's day. Well, the first place, that was a wrong title to put for that message, because the Bible says, as the days of Noah, as the days with an S on it, of the Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. See, Brother Johnson didn't put the complete title on there, and he didn't put it right. Because he just said the title was Noah's Day. Well, Noah, my day, when you say Denton Brunken's day, you're talking about my birthday. That's just one day. But when you say my days, then you're talking about my lifetime. Or you're talking about, you're talking about my lifetime, from the time I was born up until now. As the days of Noah were. Okay. So, but it goes on to say that Noah's days were 120 years. But if you put singular day, Noah's day, and Noah's day, but it doesn't say in Noah's day, the Bible says, as the days of Noah were, plural. Okay, and that's enough said on that at this point. So, Brother Johnson says, once again, on Sunday afternoon, June the 3rd, 1990, which was the Pentecost, I was going to the church to deliver the afternoon message as it was in the Noah's day. While on my way, I was pondering the messages that Yahweh had given me in February and March of this year, in which he said that my message and work was an antitype of Noah's and Paul's message and work, and that I must go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now here it is, Brother John said, I, now Yahweh told him that you alone is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so Brother Johnson, he said, so I inquired, Lord, how can I do this great work? Well, the thing is, Brother Johnson was already preaching the gospel of the kingdom whenever he published creation calendar and taught the plan of salvation to the blood of the everlasting covenant and restored all the feast days of the Sabbath. And when he restored all the divine institutions that Ellen G. White said should be done, there in Prophets and Kings, page 678, she says, in the time of the end, all divine institutions are to be restored. So, Brother Johnson, he picked upon that and he quoted that from Ellen G. White, and he says, now, all the divine institutions along with the feast days would be the sacred name. I have to restore the sacred name. I have to restore the deity, which he did. He restored all divine institutions. So that's the plan. That's the gospel. That's the good news of salvation to the blood of the everlasting covenant with the sanctuary restored the new and living way. And so this is what Brother Johnson, he'd been preaching the gospel of the kingdom for 20 years. And now he's told that he must take this gospel and go into all the world like Paul did. Now here's where the rub comes in at. Paul first was called, and he was a warrior and an enemy against Yeshua. He fought against him. And Yeshua met him on the way to Damascus, Paul, when he was on his way to persecute and more what they call Christians, more believers in Yeshua and the cross. And so Yeshua met him and knocked him off his mule, blinded him, and had him led into the city to a prophet's house, where Paul went and had to spend 3 days being taught the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Well, in that sense, Brother Johnson had the antitypical work of Paul, all right enough. But whenever he restored the sanctuary system in 1970 with all the divine institutions. So Yahweh gave him the gospel, gave Brother Johnson the full-blown gospel. But it had to be taught first to the Adventist church. And Brother Johnson had published a calendar, and he published all this information on the divine institution, and he published tracts and so forth, and we his helpers took this message to the Adventist church and they rejected it. So that shows right there that Brother Johnson was not antitypical Paul. Because when Paul took the gospel, and after he was converted and had his eyesight restored to him, then Yeshua gave him his commission. He said, now you're to go into all the world, the then known world, preaching this truth. And what did Paul say? He said, I desire to make nothing more known among them but Yeshua and himself crucified. That's all I'm going to make known about them. The new and living way, the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's all I'm going to teach them. And to keep the holy day, continue to keep the holy days, the feast days, which the Pharisees and everybody else were doing. But they denied the Savior, the blood. They denied the blood, so therefore Paul was given the whole plan of salvation. And here Brother Johnson said, I have the commission of Paul. And then he goes on to say, that I must go into all the world. Instead of thinking about it for a minute and saying, this... my church, with all of us, has got to go into all the world. We've got to take this message now into all the world. That's the reason why Brother Johnson said, after that, he said, God is through with the Adventist church, and we're going to go to the Gentile. And indeed, the very next Sabbath, we went and took his literature and went to a city in New Mexico, Carlsbad. And we went to a Walmart parking lot, and we started putting tracks on all the cars there in Walmart. And the police come and run us off. Then we came back home. We went to Odessa and went to another parking lot and started putting the tracks on all those cars. And the police come and run us off. So Brother Johnson was dismayed. Well, how come we got run off? The Yahweh told us to take this gospel and take it to the Gentiles. And we're trying to take it to the Gentiles, and we're getting run off by the police. So you see, Brother Johnson didn't have the antitype of Paul. He didn't have the commission of Paul, like he claimed he did. So that's the reason why I'm doing this, because I'm going to show you the irony in all of this. So Brother Johnson is going to say, so I inquired, Lord, how can I do this great work? His answer was, recruit all the young men available and qualified for this work and set up a school of training. So if you have a burning desire to be a part of an evangelistic team that is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, which brings the end of the world, Matthew 24:14, and you are spiritual minded and apt to teach, then please send me an application today. Then I asked the Lord, how can I support a program like this? His answer was, there are a lot of people in the church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and in the world with money, who would like to have a part in this phase of the work. Invite them to be a sponsor. So if you are one of those whom God had in mind, and He has given you the power to get wealth, so if you're one of those rich people now in the Adventist Church, He's giving you the power to get wealth, well then respond to this call, and we'll use your money along with all the other people that's got wealth, and we'll use that to go into all the world. Then you will want to share it with the gospel of the kingdom work. Please send your tax-deductible donation for Creation County, 450 North Hope, Kermit, Texas, 79745. Now, Brother Johnson, after he invited these people to come and make an application and join him and bring their money, their wealth, then he says, when he closes this track here, he said, send your donations to me. He didn't say, come with your donations in person and bring your wealth and join us. He just said, now send your donations to this address. In other words, I'll take your money, but you can just give me your money. So Brother Johnson, and like I said, he had completely lost his way from the start, from 1971 at the Passover, but he held it. He held the Passover down in the old Mount Carmel, and yet his headquarters was out there in Kermit, Texas, at Gilead Center, and yet he retreats back to Mount Carmel that has already been cut off. Their time is already up in 1970, and a year later he takes and goes and holds our Passover services right down there at Old Mount Carmel and invited the rodents to come in. The rodents had already been cut off for a whole year. They have already been cut off for a whole year. And yet he went and invited them to come to the Passover to be the wave sheaf offering. And here they were cut off. So Brother Johnson didn't, from the very beginning of his ministry, if he just left all of that stuff alone and just taught the creation calendar and the divine institutions that he was given to restore, that's all he was given to do. Because he told us in the very beginning, he said, I have one commission. And Yahweh, he said, the Lord told me to teach my people my government. So that's my commission. Just teach the government of Yahweh, the sanctuary system restored. That's all I'm supposed to do. And then he goes off and tries to fulfill all these prophecies like Ben and Roden did before him. And B.T. Hardiff did before him. Sister White didn't try to fulfill those prophecies. She pointed out that those prophecies were in the future from her and that they would be fulfilled and that Yahweh would raise up an Elijah in the last days. And Sister White told him that. And so after Sister Wright died, Deacon Hollis said, well, I must be the Elijah. I succeeded her, so I must be this Elijah. And Ben Roden, he says, well, I must be this David. And Brother John said, well, I must be this Joshua. And they were pointing themselves a position that they weren't the antitype of. The Jehoshaphat was not the antitypical Elijah. Ben Roden was not the antitypical David. Brother Johnson was not the antitypical Joshua that he claimed to be at the beginning. So, now, I'm going to go to, I thought I was going to go ahead to go to Shepherd Rod Volume 2. Well, I think I will. I'll go ahead. And then I'm going to, after I get through with this, I'll do, again, The Man on the White Horse by Ben Roden. And it should tie in with all of this. But right now, let's go to Shepherd Rod Volume 2, page 174. And it's the title of this subject is the 24th chapter of Matthew and the Signs of Yahshua's Coming. Okay. The question before I start this, Matthew 24, is why did all of our predecessors that had gone before us, I'm talking about prophets, leaders, in the Adventist Church, why have they all come and gone? Well, number one, they never learned how to read the 12-hour parabolic clock hanging on their wall. Even on their wall, because that clock is not set up accurately. That clock has been offset by 1 hour by man. That's reading it says in Daniel 7:25, he thought to change times and laws. Well, that was one of them. So, Jehoshaphat proved that he didn't know how to correct the parabolic time clock of the 12 hours a day. He proved that. And from 1930 and 1970, the Rod proved that. And then Brother Johnson picked up the same theme. And he proved also that he didn't have the inspiration to correct the 12-hour parabolic time clock. And so today, he has given that to the true and the typical servant Elijah David. And that's what we've done. Now, it says here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and the signs of Yahshua is coming, and I'll start to read. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Yahshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing he told them. Take heed that no man deceive you. Whether he is my appointed servant that has the office of inspiration, or whether he's just anyone that comes out of the blue and says, I have the light on this truth. He says, don't let any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. That's the first thing that they're going to do. They're going to come in his name. But now, Brother Johnson, he definitely was appointed by Yahshua, and he came in the name of Yahshua because his message was the Isaac branch, and branch is another name for Yahshua. And that was what was given to Brother W. Johnson. So, he of all the ones from 1844 on was the lone one that had the message directly from Yahshua and about Yahshua. But Brother Johnson made his message all about himself and not about Yahshua. That's where he went wrong. And many shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. So he says, now you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. And well, I'm telling you right now, we're in that very time today. We got wars going on all around the world, and they are rumors of war looming every day. Rumors of war looming with Korea, North Korea. There's rumors of war looming with Pakistan. That's next door to Afghanistan, where we're fighting today. There's rumors of wars that we're, all over. So it says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. But don't be troubled, brother. Don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So when you see all these things come to pass, don't be troubled about it. Because these things must come. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Now in the Adventist Church today, which Ellen G. White identified as the spiritual Israel of today. So now we have to go to the Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel today, to identify false prophets. You wouldn't go outside of her ranks to the Gentile world and try to identify false prophets, because every one of them out there are all liars. All their ministers don't have a clue what the truth is on anything. So we don't even consider them. We have to consider, when you say false prophets, you've got to go to the house of Israel. And so we know that the Adventist Church, still in existence today, being labeled by the prophet, Ellen G. White, the prophet to her, her first prophet, as the spiritual Israel of today. She says, we are the Israel of today. And so you have to go there, and that's where these many false prophets, they rise from. Well, Brother Johnson ended up being a false prophet, like Balaam did. Balaam in Numbers 24 was a true prophet. And he told Balak, the king of Moab, he said, I can only say what words that the Father puts in my mouth. He said, I can only say what he tells me to say. He said, now, if you want me to try to curse Israel, I can only say what he gave me to say. But in the end, Balak betrayed his trust and was identified as a false prophet. But he was a true prophet in the beginning. My brother Johnson was a true prophet in the beginning, too. And so was Ben Roden. And so was V.T. Hall of a true prophet. But they all came to their end in their time, because they didn't know where they were at in the stream of time. They were completely had lost. And so there was only one thing to do, and take them out of the way, because of the things that they were preaching and doing did not come to pass and wasn't going to come to pass in their time. Just like William Miller, 1833 to 1844, he says, as he taught the 2300-day prophecies coming to fulfillment in 1844, he's taught that for 10 years. And he says it's cleansing the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, is going to take place on the atonement of 1844. And he finally ended up sitting that day. And it didn't happen, because he taught it wrong. He says the cleansing of the sanctuary is Yeshua coming and destroying this earth by fire and taking his waiting saints to heaven in the clouds. That was his concept of the cleansing of the sanctuary and the fulfillment of the 2300-day prophecy. He thought when the 2300-day prophecy came to an end in 1844, that the 1844 would be the end of the world. But it'd be the end of all times. You know what? He was a true prophet, though. But he ended up giving with the misunderstanding of the fulfillment of his prophecy. Well, Brother Johnson, he died not realizing the fulfillment of his prophecies. Ben Roden died not realizing the fulfillment of his prophecies. E.T. Hollis died not realizing the fulfillment of his prophecies. Yet these were all true prophets, just like William Miller was. Okay, so it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, he that endures until the end. Well, here we are. I'm in my 80th year, and I was born into the house of Israel, 1938, and within just a few months, I will have my 80th birthday, and showing that I have been in this world for 80 years, and yet I'm just giving a day by day, step by step, to understand the unfolding of these prophecies and their fulfillment, and how to explain the fulfillment of them. And so of each one as they unfold, and as these tiny prophecies come, says the same shall be saved. So if those that endure until the end, now when is the end? The 12th parabolic hour is the last hour in your 12-hour time clock, and that's the end of your parabolic time, and we're in that 12th hour. So he says, the same shall be saved. Well, 2002 ended the 11th parabolic hour, and those people that were cut off at starting the first judgment there at Terma, Texas, those that didn't come to the judgment, they were cut off. They did not endure. They didn't endure. They had to be cut off. Okay? The same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, and this gospel, okay, so the gospel that Rutherford Johnson gave the true interpretation of and restored in 1970, this is the truth that has to be taught to all the world. So Brother Johnson was saying in 1990, June the 3rd, at Pentecost, he said, I am to take this gospel to all the world like Paul did. Well, Paul literally took the gospel to the then known world by himself. Of course, he already raised him up some helpers to join him, but he was the leader of it all. And he only had one at the most, or two at the most, with him at any given time. And he was out there leading the way. He was the one that was doing the teaching, not them. Until they were by themselves. Well, yeah, they taught it too, along with Paul, because he didn't just tell them, you can't teach it and be with me, you know. He let them, they all taught the truth. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He said, and this gospel, and this good news, the plan of salvation of the Brother Everlasting Covenant, with the restored creation calendar by the Brothers W. Johnson in 1970, this is what's going to be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that prophecy still stands right now. That prophecy, it will be fulfilled, just like I said. Just like I just read to you. Just like I just quoted. Holy Spirit told me. But Brother Johnson is not here to fulfill his own commission that he said that was given to him in 1970. He's not here to fulfill that. Because the Bible says one man builds and another comes and or one man lays the foundation, another comes and builds upon that foundation. Well, Brother Johnson laid the foundation. I'm building on that foundation. But I'm using the tools that he used for that, laid that foundation. Yeah, and that's the creation calendar. The direct question put unto Yahshua and his answer as unto the assurance of his second coming and the end of this present world is too plain and self-explanatory to leave room for doubt. He did not say that the end of the present sinful world was not to come, but he plainly stated that it will come. However, he said before the end shall come, this gospel of the kingdom, the signs of the second coming, as foretold in this chapter, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Not that all nations shall be converted, but for a witness. And then shall the end come. So B.T. Hall thought that he had that gospel. He thought that that shepherd's rod was a full-blown gospel. Little did he know that, because he went as much as he could into all the countries he could go into, handing out those timely greetings as the leaves of autumn. To all, he tried to go into all the world with the shepherd's rod message. And when he got through, the world stood still. Just like that prophecy there in Zechariah chapter 1. Those three horses went through, they went to and fro through the earth, and they said, we've gone to and fro through the earth, and all the world stands still. As if we hadn't done anything. Well, that's what happened to B.T. Hallock. And when his life was all over, coming in, they hadn't done anything. It appeared they hadn't done anything. Those who teach contrary to this plain statement of the Master are they of whom he said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive men. So, I'm saying that V.T. Hallock, not having a correct understanding of what the gospel was, and that would be the sanctuary completely restored back to its rightful order, such as what I said had to be done. And by that, now understanding how to explain the true, because he didn't have it. He didn't have the true plan of salvation, the blood of everlasting covenant restored unto him. That's the reason why he couldn't teach it. But he was teaching his version of the gospel. And that was a rod message that he was teaching. He said, all we got to do is just take this to all the world, and the end will come. Well, Ben Roden said, all I got to do is take the message that I have to all the world. This is the gospel, and the end will come. And Brother John said, all we got to do is take this gospel to all the world, and the end will come. Okay. Furthermore, Yahshua said, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, verse 27. What they didn't know, what all the prophets didn't know, and what the disciples didn't know 2,000 years ago, and yet he was telling them the signs of his coming, was that Yahshua has to come back again. He has to take the reins in his own hands. He has to set up his under-servant, which would be antitypical Elijah. David would be the two names that would be the name of Eliyahu. Eliyahu, David would be their name, and Yahshua will take charge of them. And as Tract 8 of V.T. Hallock makes it very clear, set up an ensign, have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and Yahshua will direct the gospel through his servant Elijah, Eliyahu, David. He will direct the gospel through that will go into all the world. And so Yahshua comes, and he's the one that leads out in this gospel being taken to all the world. Nobody has ever seen this. No one has ever seen this before. So that's the reason why all these prophets that have gone before us have failed. Because it wasn't time for it. Yahshua hadn't returned. Yahshua's got to return. Not only that, but he's got to return in the person And he's already done this. He's already taken the reins in his own hand. 2002 Tremor, Texas, the Gilead Center. He took the reins in his own hand. And he chose my wife and I and Alan DeLong. And for that reason, I'm saying that Alan DeLong has still got a judgment day coming for him for having turned against this and saying this is all false. And leaving and doing what he did. Yahweh's not through with him yet. Because he was delivered down there at Kermit with us through the our first judgment. So anyway, that's another story. While some of these false prophets make a complete denial of his coming, others dare say he has already come. Still others claim that no one shall see him when he comes, but he shall establish his kingdom on earth, and this world will never come to an end, etc. We ask the question, is Yahshua telling an untrue story? Or are there these false prophets fulfilling his predictions by trying to deceive the saints concerning his coming and overthrow their faith in the Master's word and thus defraud them of a crown of life? If these are not the deceivers of whom he speaks, then who are they? Now, let's go back to the top. Yahshua came to this world. He was born in a manger. He was lived in seclusion for 30 years. Only his family knew who he was and where he was living, because he was living with them. But when he came forth, he was introduced by a prophet, John the Baptist. And Yahshua said he's the greatest prophet of all the prophets. Why? Because John the Baptist is given the commission to identify the Yahshua and proclaim his work. And to identify him and connect him up with the people as a living person among them. This was a shock to them. Okay. If such workers of iniquity, I'm back to V.T. Hollis, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 175. If these, if such workers of the iniquity dare try for the contradicting of his plain language, as in this instance, may it not be expected that they shall attempt to overthrow the entire truth of the Bible? Now, by V.T. Hollis not having an understanding of the nature of the gospel, how it's going to be carried in the end time, that Yahshua has to come back in the person and take the reins in his own hands and orchestrate taking this message throughout the world, because you got the prophecies in Joel chapter 2, chapter 1, 2, and 3, the three chapters right there. You have them in Daniel. You have them all over the prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they tell you exactly that Yahshua has to come back and take charge. Ezekiel, all of them. They tell you this. How readest thou? When Yahshua shall come as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, these false prophets shall be ashamed. Okay, now, according to Ezekiel's prophecy, when Yahshua comes back the second time, he comes from the side of the north. So where does this come in here when he comes out of the east? As lightning that cometh out of the east. It means he's already come back in his traveling throne to his prophet Elijah David here in the 12th hour. He's already come, set him up, working with him, and then he has to deal with Jerusalem, which is east of us from here, from the United States. I'm here in the United States, west of Jerusalem, about 6,000 miles. So when Yahshua comes, he's got to go to his headquarters in Jerusalem, Israel, at the kingly palace ground where he, and the Mount of Olives, he's got to come back there. So Zechariah 14 gives you the prophecy on him doing that. But it's after he comes from the south to the north and sets up his kingdom with Elijah David here in the west This takes place first. That's who we are. And then he sits up, and then he harvests all of the Western Hemisphere, because Zechariah 14 says the gospel is going to go, living waters is going to go east and west out of this kingdom where it's set up at. This kingdom is set up first right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. This is where it's going to go from. All right. For it says, the Revelator also declares, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. That is, they that pierced him shall be resurrected prior unto his coming. Okay. So we know that they pierced him at the cross, and they're going to have to be resurrected. We know that they crucified him afresh 2,000 years later in Kermit, Texas. They crucified him afresh, so they pierced him also, because yes, Brother Johnson had Yahshua's message exclusively because he had his name. The Isaac branch, he had his name. So we know that they fell by the wayside. I mean, you had to be there to see that judgment when they were cut off. It was the most darkest day in the history of Gilead Center. So they're going to be resurrected along with those at the cross that pierced him. See Daniel 12:2. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, hallelujah. It says amen here, but you know what? That's a pagan title for a god, Baal. Revelation 1:7. Yes, our Messiah shall come, and we shall see him as he is, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our King, our Savior. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. There he is. Gospel. Good news of the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant. So Yahshua has already come back and taught us about the blood of the everlasting covenant through his blood. He's done taught us that. And that's what we're teaching today, Isaiah 25:9. And then that's when he begins his work. He saves his leadership first, the house of David. He seals them. He purifies them. He sets them aside. And then he brings 144,000 forth and joins them. And then Yahshua appears in the person. Literally in the person with the 144,000, says on Revelation 14:1-5. Okay. Though these false prophets and sinners do not want to see him come, they must. Okay, so now it says those that pierced him called them false prophets. Okay, that was your Jewish nation and the Gentile nation joined together to crucify Yahshua. But it was the Jews that thrust the spear in his side. These are false prophets. So those that pierced him. So Rollis Johnson was one that pierced him in the Antitype. And he is also called a true prophet at the beginning, like Balaam was, Numbers 24. But he ended up being giving false prediction and costing him his physical life, his eternal life, and everything else. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:15-17. And so shall the end come unto the sinners, but not unto Yahweh's people. For Yahweh himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh. Okay. Now here's this trump. This is Donald Trump's name in prophecy. Let's go ahead. And the dead in Yahshua shall rise first. then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. Now there's a scripture there in Colossians 1:13, and I'm going to go read it to you. Let's read verse 12 first, 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now Yahshua has to come and be on the scene in the person to accomplish it. Translation means translated from the power of darkness and to the spiritual life. It doesn't mean necessarily to be translated from this point here to this place to that place geographically. Catherine and I and Alan DeLong, we were translated out of the kingdom of Esau in Kermit, Texas in 2002. We were translated out of there into the kingdom of his dear son, given a new identity because we were in a new kingdom. We had been taken out of the old kingdom, a sinful kingdom, according to Amos 9, and we had been translated and transplanted into the kingdom of Yahshua. Two different kingdoms altogether. Okay, now it goes on to say here, for the great day of his wrath is come. No. Unto the sinners that day shall be a fearful day, and unto them shall he come, as a thief in the night, but not so unto those who wait for him. For speaking of the great persecution that overtook his people in the dark ages during the 1260 years of Daniel 7:25, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. It's the sign of the Son of Man. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with the power and great glory. That you first have to be translated out of the from the power of darkness. You got to be translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven unto the other. Matthew 24:29-31. Now this has to take place after the Savior appears with power and great glory. The Master looking forward unto this generation, it says the Master, so I'm going to say for the Yahshua, looking forward unto this generation, says there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And Luke 21:25. Well, we just had 15, 16, we had the four blood moons. Okay. That's the sign. Thus, immediately after the tribulation, parentheses, the great persecution, the sun was to be darkened. Now, here you got, he used the wrong adverb. He used an adverb, was, but it says, thus immediately after the tribulation, parentheses, the great persecution, the sun is to be darkened. On the 19th of the May 1780, this prophecy met its fulfillment. Quoting from the great controversy, almost if not altogether alone, as the most mysterious and as yet unexplained phenomenon of its kind, stands the dark day of May 19, 1780, a most unaccountable darkening of the whole visible heaven and atmosphere in the New England. An eyewitness living in Massachusetts describes the event as follows. In the morning, the sun rose clear, but was soon overcast. The clouds became lowery, and from then black and ominous, as they soon appeared. Lightning flashed, thunder rolled, and a little rain fell. Toward 9 o'clock, the clouds became thinner and assumed a brassy or coppery appearance, and earth, rocks, trees, buildings, water, and persons were changed by this strange, unearthly light. A few minutes later, a heavy black cloud spread over the entire sky except a narrow rim at the horizon, and it was as dark as it usually is at 9 o'clock on a summer evening. Fear, anxiety, and awe gradually filled the minds of the people. Women stood at the door, looking out upon the dark landscape. Men returned from their labor in the field. The carpenter left his tool, the blacksmith his forge, the tradesman his counter. Schools were dismissed, and trimming. The children fled homeward. Travis put up at the nearest farmhouse. "What is coming?" queried every lip and heart. It seemed as if a hurricane was about to dash across the land, or as if it was the day of the consummation of all things. For the extent of this darkness was extraordinary. Okay, it was observed as far east as Falmouth. To the westward, it reached to the farthest part of Connecticut and unto Albany. And to the southward, it was observed along the sea coast, and to the north as far as the American settlements extend. For the intense darkness of the day was succeeded an hour or two before evening by a partially clear sky, and the sun appeared, though it was still obscured by the black, heavy mist. After sundown, the cloud came again overhead, and it grew dark very fast, nor was the darkness of the night less uncommon and terrifying than that of the day. Notwithstanding, there was almost a full moon. No object was discernible, but by the help of some artificial light, which, when seen from the neighboring houses and other places at a distance, appeared through a kind of Egyptian darkness, which seemed almost impervious unto the rays, said an eyewitness of the scene. "I could not help conceiving at the time that if every luminous body in the universe had been shrouded in impenetrable shades or struck out of existence, the darkness could not have been more complete. Though at 9 o'clock that night the moon rose to the full, it had not the least effect to dispel the death-like shadow. After midnight, the darkness disappeared, and the moon, when first visible, had the appearance of blood." Now, we had 4 blood moons in 2016 here. So, think about it. May 1780 stands in history as the dark day. Since the time of Moses, no period of darkness of the equal density, extent, and duration has ever been recorded. The description of this event as given by eyewitness is but an echo of the words of the Yeshua recorded by the prophet Joel 2,500 years previous unto their fulfillment. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Yeshua come." This brings in verse 7. This is our contact at the 11th hour, calling us number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Son? Sun Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. Well, I'm going to Mississippi. That's as high on Zion's Hill. There, there are no people there, only those who do God's will. Won't you go with me to Zion's Hill? We can walk from stars and others, each star represents a soul. Won't you go with me in silence till we can walk on the flowers and trail at the beauty that is all around on Zion.